This week, our core value series continues as we continue in this area of prayer, which initially we were going to do about three talks and then move on to another one, another core value, but really felt from God that this had to be a real focus for an extended period. So this is a series which is lasting for quite a few weeks, and I'm certainly learning lots of new things as we do this. I wonder if there are people that you spend time with who just talk all the time. Don't look at anyone beside you. But they never stop to hear what you have to say or even ask. I've got someone in my life like that. The whole world revolves around her, what she wants, where she wants to go, how she feels, what makes her happy, what she's done. I'm not being brave because my wife's on holiday. Or Alison too, who I work alongside. To be fair, she's only two, and it's little me. And that's fine, it's to be expected really at that age and stage. It would be a bit worrying in 10 years or more if she's still at that stage, because relationship has to be a two-way thing. When it comes to prayer, if we're honest, we can often be like that with God. We're encouraged to have a childlike faith, but not a childish faith. God wants us to be dependent on him, but by faith, he wants to be in a relationship with us, to talk to us and with us. God speaks in so many ways. The Bible tells us that he speaks to the world through his creation. He speaks through his word. He speaks by his spirit. He speaks through his servants and into our minds and hearts. But are we actively listening? I rather nervously approached an unsuspecting woman at the bus stop outside the church this week, explained who I was, and asked her what she thought about the idea of God speaking to people or people claiming that God had spoken to them. And she said, yeah, she kind of knew that some people said that. And I said, well, what about prayer? She says, well, I know most people pray at least sometime in their life. I says, but what if God spoke to you? She said, that would be pretty weird. She probably thought much the same about me speaking to her, to be honest, in the street. But that's okay. She did well. By definition, a healthy relationship, mature relationship, must be two-way, to talk and to listen. And so it should be in our walk with God. And probably most of us believe that God is a God who listens, who hears our prayers when we walk in his ways. And the Bible's full of these examples. In the Old Testament, we think of Moses. The people were in captivity, and God tells them to go and deliver the message to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses thought, really? That's very unlikely. But eventually he went. We think of when the people were in captivity, God says, I have seen, I have heard, I have come down, a God who hears. David says, God has surely listened and heard my prayer. And in 1 John we read, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, listen to this, that if we ask anything according to his will, he listens, he hears us. God is a great listener. So we should have confidence that God hears our prayers and answers according to his will. But do we have the same belief in a God who speaks to us in prayer? And John, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And that's you and me. There's a necessity that we hear the voice of God and that we follow in his ways. Growing up, I heard plenty of sermons about prayer, about talking to God, about what to say to God. I learned how to pray for others, how to be thankful, and to ask God for things as well, which is all good. But why did I never hear about listening to God in prayer? The primary and perhaps exclusive source of hearing when I was growing up anyway was that you heard God from his word, which is true. But perhaps it was a reaction against what was seen as charismatic Christianity at the time, all a bit weird, a little bit suspect if you heard God speak. Or in reaction to abuses by people who claimed to have heard God speak when clearly what they were saying was not of God. I had four books that I was looking at this week in relation to prayer, two of the books made no mention of listening to God in prayer at all. It had lots of good stuff in it, but nothing about listening to God in prayer. I never doubted that God spoke to his people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But to be honest, to me, we're often the special people like Joseph and, as I said, Moses and Abraham and Elijah and into the New Testament with Mary and others through the New Testament. And really hugely significant moments. Why and what would God have to say to me when I was so insignificant? And the first time God spoke to me in a really memorable way, I was probably at that stage in my early 20s. That's quite sad, having gone to church for all these years. But anyway, that's what happened. And I wanted to follow in God's ways, and I just didn't really know what to do. And I wondered, what could God ever do with me? And I was encouraged to pray to God to ask me to speak to me from his word. And out of that prayer, I read the verses in Matthew 17 that said, we only need faith as small as a mustard seed. And that stopped me in my tracks. And I thought, that's exactly me. My faith is so small. I'm so insignificant. And God can do something. And later on, it says that grows into a tree, up to 15 feet of a tree from the tiniest little dust of a seed. I was so excited as he made the truth of that known to me, and it was the start of an amazing journey of a small faith in a great God. So this morning I want to think, how can we hear from God? And firstly, is to be quiet. In Isaiah 30, I read this verse this week. It says, in quietness and trust is your strength. That's a great verse. In quietness and trust as your strength. There's something vital and powerful about quietness, and it's one of the big challenges that we face when we are surrounded by noise. That key verse we've used in previous weeks, be still and know that I am God. And that indicates it's a principle for us to apply. If we are still, we can become more God aware. What does that mean for us? One of these wee things that popped up when I was doing searches for visuals said, the word listen contains the same letters as the word silent. I thought, oh, that's quite an interesting wee one. They're certainly linked. We live in a kingdom of noise. There's so much noise jostling for our attention, distracting us from God, that we do need to make an effort to carve out that space of quiet. But it's worth making the effort. Jesus taught this very simply. Go into your private room, shut your door and pray to God who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And clearly that's a physical stepping away from others and from the world into a place where you're on your own with him, where you won't be disturbed or distracted, with an intention to pray and to give it time. So it's quiet, it's private, it's intentional, and it's a place where God is present. My sister-in-law is a minister. She's a vicar, not a vicar of Dibley, but a vicar in Poole. And they have a fairly large cupboard that they've turned into what they call the war room in their house. And that's a little prayer room that they go for specific things to pray for in their home. But for you, that quiet place could be in your bed at night, or early in the morning, or out walking, just whatever works. You need to fight to find that place of quiet. And as I thought about this idea, I thought there's actually more to that than just a quiet place, because we need to be still and quiet in our minds. Because for most people, talking is easier than listening. I think listening in prayer is something we have to learn to do, to be able to recognize the voice of God and to know how we can make ourselves more aware when he speaks. Sometimes we're just too busy talking to God, thinking about him ourselves, that we don't give him the opportunity to speak. So we literally need to be quiet. Stop talking. I realized that on a Sunday morning in this place, it's probably one of the few places in the week where we can find respite from the kingdom of noise. For me, I think times of quiet in church growing up were quite unsettling because I didn't know what to do with them. I just wondered when that excruciating wait would be over and somebody would say something. I think a lot of people sat there thinking that, if I'm being honest. But not using the time to meditate and to consider God. So first of all, we need to be still in our minds. Secondly, we need to be still in our hearts, to lay down our own desires and thoughts and concerns. And in that stilling process, to put ourselves in the frame of mind to allow God to speak. In that context, you can even quieten your heart without it meaning you're necessarily in a place of silence. It's important to acknowledge that sometimes God appears to be silent. For many, there's a dark night of the soul, times of real need. I was talking to someone this week where, in talking to God, there didn't seem to be any reply, and it's just hanging on by fingernails. Between the two testaments, the Old and the New Testament, it's 400 years where it seems that God was silent. Other times, God doesn't answer our prayers because of established sin in our lives. So if we're living in sin and we ask God in prayer to bless that relationship, it's against his will and God won't hear that. But we need to be quiet. We need to be humble because we don't deserve to hear from God. It's a gift and it's his desire to speak with his people. But as his people, we're called to be holy. If we just waltz into the presence of God, living sinful lives, unconcerned about it, that creates a barrier between us and God. We are to humble ourselves before him, confess our sins, our need of him, and being thankful that we are his children. David says in the Psalms to investigate my heart. The Message version vividly says, investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine me and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road eternal. I went for an x-ray this week. This is God's x-ray of our lives and our motives. David knew that how he lived before God mattered in terms of hearing God's voice of leading. Humility is at the heart of the Christian faith. It's found perfectly in Christ, and it's to be seen in each one of us. When someone speaks boastfully and definitively that God's told them something, that's something that I would have to question. Because we have to be aware that we can get it wrong. We're fallen people. I've seen it in many instances. People hearing God and guidance in terms of relationships or workplace things. And as I was preparing, I remembered clearly myself a point in my life where I felt God was clearly saying, go in this direction. But now I can look back and see that was definitely my agenda and trying to make things happen so that I could have what I wanted to happen to justify that. And I went rather skeptically some time ago to a conference where I knew I was going to be out of my comfort zone. And at the end of the time, the leader was asking God to reveal a word or a picture as people were praying for those in the room. He had young helpers with him. And he said, they're going to be praying for this group of church leaders. And I made myself a little bit smaller just in case. And of course, one of his young assistants came over and tapped me on the shoulder. And he says, I believe that as I was praying, God has a picture for you. Now, he made it clear that it may be something from God. He asked me if it made any sense, which I couldn't deny that it clearly did. But he did not definitively say, God says. He was very humble and acknowledged that he may have got it wrong. We need to be humble because we are fallen people. There's so many thoughts and desires and ego and hidden agendas in our minds that we should be careful when we say that we have heard from God. It's not meant to boost our ego or to be treated lightly. Because when God speaks also, it can be confusing. I mentioned about Moses being called to go to Pharaoh or Jonah called to go to Nineveh, saying, God, are you sure? For these wicked heathen, you really want me to go there? Or Ananias, who God said, go and speak to Saul. And Ananias is thinking, but Saul's been sent here to punish us, to put us in prison, or even kill us. But they all went, and it was clearly of God. So when God speaks, it can take us out of our comfort zone, into areas that don't seem to make sense. But I believe more often than not, God speaks simply to us. It may be a word of encouragement or challenge or conviction, but always for our good or for the good of others in relation to the kingdom of God. Someone was telling me on Friday when I met with them that they've often had pictures and a word from God as they're praying to bring to someone else in the life of the church. And they'd never had that before in their lives. I was chatting with Glenn this week, and to save him stewing over it all week, he thankfully wrote down a little bit for me. And Glenn just said, over the years, the one thing that has made a difference is being humble. Humble yourself before the Lord. And for Glenn, that was going for prayer ministry and church. And in that time where it's seen that God is silent, that others can pray for you and can bring insight from God and a word from God that can be a great help. Another way to humble, he says, is to fast, even for a meal. Effective way of stripping away pride, humbling myself, and connecting with God. I think I'm more likely to hear his voice when I'm seeking his face and when I've humbled myself before him. Thanks for that, Glenn. So, the person who's talked to him Friday says, well, how do we avoid making mistakes? Humility, again, is the key. And we are called in 1 John chapter 4 to test the spirits. And I just finished a novel this week, and the end was quite surprising because it hinged on a family who used prayer and God's word to justify vengeance on those who had mistreated them. And we often hear in the news of a warped and fanatical application of what people believe God has told them to do. Because in a sense, they can say, well, you can't argue with that. God's told me that. That's why we need to be humble. Discernment is the key. And we can find discernment from a number of sources that can provide checks that should all align. So we can use common sense. And does it fit with the character of God? Am I willing to sit on it to see if it still sits there? Do I have the right attitude and motive? Do I want the best for the person who I think God has spoken to me about? It's not meant to be used as a weapon against someone. Does it align with God's word? Because God does not go against his word. And mature believers with more experience of God's ways can help you as well. And we'd love it as leaders and pastors if you believe you've heard God say something for us as a church to bring it to us. Or if you're uncertain that it's genuine what you have to give to another person, but you think you might have heard from God, feel free, we'll be happy for you to bring it to us as leaders. And it does happen in church. Not long ago, a young person approached me after a time of prayer in church during the service and said, I believe God might have given me a word for this specific person on the other side. And they told me what it was, and I was quite happy with that. And they took that message, and it was clearly the right time and the right word that came from God. Now, I said to the person, what would you have said if I had said, I don't think that's for today or just now? Maybe need to go away and think about that. And I said, what if I had said, I really don't think that's from God? What would have been your response? And the person said, I would have gone away. I would have prayed about it. If it's still stuck, I would have come back and say, that's still not gone away. But if you then said, don't think that's right, I would accept that. And I thought that's a great attitude, a great humble, mature attitude from a young Christian. So we're called to be humble. And lastly, we're called to be expectant, to take God at his word, to take time to listen, expecting God to speak. On Thursday, I was praying, and in a time of listening, I had a clear sense of God just saying one word, just quite clearly, quite quietly. Persevere. It's not the kind of word I use in daily life. It's clearly a scriptural principle. Keep going. And I believe that was for me. It may be for some of you in circumstances you find yourselves in today. Keep going. For me, I believe it's in relation to what God is teaching me about prayer through this series. God wants to encourage us and help us all to grow in faith. Keep in step with the Spirit. Learn to hear His voice. The Spirit's role is to give us assurance of faith so God may remind you that you're a child, you're His child, that you're special, that you're bought with a price, that you're blessed and loved by Him. So be open and willing to hear Him. That can give a new expectancy, a new dynamism when we pray and when we read His word and meditate on it. And when we download God's word into our minds, God can then bring that back to us as we come before Him in prayer. So when you pray, use God's word. Not long ago, I was preparing, I told some of you, and God said in a very clear way, this verse is a balm. That's a really unusual word. It's got different connotations in the west of Scotland. But a balm in terms of a medicine and a healing. And the verse was, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that was something for some people in church and in visits that I was making that week to people in their homes. As leaders, it happens to us too, and some of you won't know, but Colin has shared before about how God, as they were praying as leaders, gave him a clear picture of a dark corridor with an arched door with light above it. And that was before we got this building. And when Colin was in this place, it was all very rough and smelly, and there was a low roof in here. It was a pretty grim place. And as he walked out, as you walk out today, you'll see that picture, that corridor, very clearly the same picture God had given him. And that was before we had really got this place. So God was making that quite obvious to us. And as we approached the AGM, some of you know Clive was on a walk and was praying and saw something and felt God was saying, go over and look at that. And it was turned out it was a big tree that had fallen, large tree, small roots. And God was saying to him, this church is not about growing bigger and bigger and taller, but about putting down the roots. And when that came to us as leaders, we were pretty much signed off on what we were going to do at the AGM. And it was a last minute change of direction. And we all felt that was clearly something that God wanted to say to us. And it gives an extra weight in terms of this whole series that we're doing over these months, something that we had not intended to do, but be willing to change our plans when God speaks. Gives a extra responsibility on Clive and myself as we bring the message from God's word and as we look to grow together and mature in faith. And these are some perhaps more dramatic illustrations, but I want to say that God speaks in simple ways too. As we pray, He can bring someone to mind that we can pray about or contact. I sent a message the other day as I'd been praying. I thought, oh, I should message that person. The person said, I'm holding my phone and about to text you when your message came through. That's a coincidence. I thought, yeah, you could say. Maybe a God incidence. But other times it can be about praying through a list of people. And people can say, that just came at the right time on that day. So it's not about just restricting to a list, or it's not about ignoring a list. It's both and. But as I was preparing, again, there was a clear sense from God, something of a lightning bolt verse, I believe that God brought to mind that I was not expecting to bring within the talk. But it really is the focus as we come to an end. It's from the book of 1 Samuel. And young Samuel was asleep in the temple where he served God when he was awakened by a voice calling out his name, Samuel, Samuel. And naturally, he thought it was old Eli, who slept in another room in the temple nearby. But rudely awakened, Eli sent him swiftly back to bed. When he was back in his bed, the voice came clearly again, Samuel, Samuel. And he thought, oh, Eli must have realized he did have something to tell me. Went through, woke Eli again, but was sent packing. So annoying to be woken up in the middle of the night. But when it happened a third time, the penny finally dropped for Eli, who as a high priest, you would think, should have known a little bit sooner that God was speaking. But when I looked up the actual verses, it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. So perhaps Eli was unaccustomed to it himself. So fair dues to him that he did recognize it. And he told Samuel the next time it happened, he was to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Amazingly, it says Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Perhaps that means he'd never heard from the Lord. And then the dramatic verse says, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel was obedient and said, as he was told, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And God did. And this little passage encompasses what we've been thinking about this morning, because there's quiet, there's humility, there's discernment, there's expectancy, and it's personal. God speaks to you by name. God can say something to you that is completely different this morning from anyone else in this place. And Samuel was young. God wants to speak to you as a young person as much as he wants to speak to any adult. It's for everyone who follows him. It's such a simple approach for us to have with God as we come to pray, and to use that over this week. Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. So listen, expecting God to speak, because we can hear him. Prayer's not meant to be dry and dusty, but alive and transformative. If we are prayerful people, we're more likely, as we're expectant, to hear God speak through his creation, through his word, by his spirit, in our minds, through thoughts and pictures. But don't miss the voice of God. Prayer, as we thought at the start, is not meant to be a monologue. It's to be a conversation. So let us be quiet and bring this simple request to him. The God who speaks, the God who loves you and wants you to know him more, to grow in your walk with him, to go into the world to share his good news and love with others who don't yet know him, to be humble. The prayer team are people we trust as leaders who have hearts for prayer. Sometimes we don't know what's going on. We struggle in faith. And those times, it can be through the prayers of others that God may speak. And they'd love to pray for you. And there are specific times where they have had that clear sense of God speaking into a situation. So let me encourage you to humble yourself. Maybe you feel, "Oh, I've never been for prayer. I couldn't do that." Humble yourself and do that, and God will honor it. And let's be expectant to hear his voice. I trust that you'll have an exciting week of prayer. It would be a great encouragement if you can message, if you hear something from God, if you've been encouraged by that, and so that I can pray for you as well. As we finish, we have a couple of minutes, and we're going to use it just in quiet, and just let us have that response to God. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And hear, perhaps for the first time, the voice of God speaking to you. Take that risk. Be expectant. We're not waiting for anyone else to pray or to speak. We're just going to have these few short minutes ourselves before God in quiet. Then he's going to play a little bit of music. We can continue in prayer, and then we'll sing our last song together. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word, for the way you speak to us. Thank you that you are a God who speaks. Thank you that you do listen to our prayers. Thank you, you want to make yourself known to us, to walk with us. Help us to discern your voice, to hear from you. Help us to be humble in that. Help us to be expectant. Help us over this next week to carve out these quiet spaces in the midst of noisy lives. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name.